So I've never really felt like I could be part of either party, so I didn't think I had a role in politics. But in January, I was approached by a community group that was looking for a candidate. And I had a good hard think about it, because there are lots of reasons not to go into politics. But in the end, I thought, I think this really matters, because I think our two-party system is failing us. We're not seeing the long-term thinking that we need, and it's all about winning elections rather than actually making a plan for the future. So that was, and I had some good advisors. I've got an uncle who was in federal politics in the 80s, Fred Cheney, who's been a fantastic mentor to me over the years, and I've learned a lot from him. So his advice has been really helpful. He did originally say, I think this is a bad idea because it's a pretty awful life being in politics, but I think when he realised I was passionate about it, he's been very supportive since then.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So what's your number one policy stance, and why is it that way?
Yeah, so I've probably got two main priorities. I've got sort of four issues on my platform, and the first one is climate action. And I think that we've really lost 10 years on climate, and it's a really important issue that we need to be acting now, both for our planet but also for our economy. So I think that's something that's really important to me. Secondly is integrity. And we've got this government who's now saying that it doesn't want to have a national integrity commission that can actually do anything to fight corruption. And I think that's a really fundamental problem with our democracy if we can't investigate corruption. I'm also passionate about the economic opportunities that come out of climate or decarbonisation and inclusive communities. I think we can do so much better on issues like constitutional recognition and really taking up the Uluru Statement, as well as how we treat a more humane way of treating asylum seekers.
Okay. So how do you differ from the other candidates that you're running against?
How am I different? Well, firstly, I think the most importantly, I don't get told how to vote by the party leader. And if you look at a lot of the policy that's coming out of our government at the moment, it's really dictated by Barnaby Joyce, who's telling us what our climate policy should be. So I think being able to actually just act in the interests of my community and in accordance with my conscience and not be told how to vote by some party machine makes a big difference and goes back to the heart of our democracy.
I like your thinking there, Kate. where do you stand on aged care?
Well, aged care, I think it's a huge issue how we are treating our old people. And we certainly have a lot to learn from Noongar culture in terms of respect for elders. And when we have to have a special law which actually requires us to adequately feed our old people in aged care homes, I think we've got a real problem. It should be the very, very minimum, and we need to be treating people with a whole lot more dignity and respect. So I think a big part of that is paying people adequately. And there are a lot of professions that have traditionally been dominated by women, like the caring professions, that are currently underpaid. And I think that's a good first step in ensuring that that we actually have good people and enough people in aged care roles to look after our old people.
Excellent. Okay. You said you stand for a First Nations voice to Parliament?
Absolutely. And I was, in one of my jobs previously, I was Aboriginal Affairs Manager at Wesfarmers. And when I first went into that job, I thought, right, it's all about jobs. The focus has got to be on jobs. And it took me about a year to realise that the symbolic stuff is really important, and we need to take a much longer-term view and get the relationships right and the respect and the governance structure and make good on our history before we can really go forward, into the future. So I think constitutional recognition is a really important first step or next step in that process. And I'd be supportive of a constitutionally enshrined voice to Parliament and a referendum on that in the next term of government.
Excellent. All right. How about this one? Where do you stand on raising the age of criminal responsibility?
I think it's really important. My most recent job was at Anglicare WA, where we were members of Social Reinvestment WA, and were part of the great work that they've been doing to raise the age. And I think that really 14 seems like a reasonable age. I've got kids who are 16, 14 and 10, and the thought of locking up, you know, anyone under 14 just fills me with horror. So I think that that we need to be moving towards an age of 14, you know, and we can go beyond the age of 12.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so, all right, well, where do you stand on raising the rate of welfare payments and that thing that's in the news lately, the cashless welfare card? Where do you stand on those two things?
So on the welfare payments, I mean, again, yeah. At Anglicare, it's certainly an area that I've looked at a lot in the last few years, and I think that we do need to have a rate that means that we're not trapping people in poverty. And some of the stuff that I've seen through Anglicare WA, you know, stories from people who really can't focus on getting a job or changing their circumstances because they're really focused on how to actually get through week to week and feed their kids. So that is something that I would support. I think we've got to do it, you know, carefully and make sure that we are incentivising people or giving people a leg up so that they can actually empowered to change their circumstances and get work rather than having a system that says if you get any work, you'll be penalised. So there are some structural changes that need to happen too. What was your second question, Mark?
It was about that cashless welfare card, the Indy card.
Oh, the cashless welfare card.
The one that people are being forced to go on. And the Prime Minister saying, well, we're not going to put pensioners on it, aged pensioners. But that's all he said. We're not going to put aged pensioners on it. So one could infer from that he's going to put everybody else on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to learn from the past, and we have a sad history of non-Aboriginal people making decisions for Aboriginal people in this country. And I think we really need to learn from that and understand that it's not going to be in anyone's interest for decisions to be made for people.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I definitely agree with that. But I think it should be still available to people that actually want to do something like that voluntarily, because I believe that the original idea proposed behind it about helping people to organise themselves using that method is not a bad thing as long as the person voluntarily goes on it and can voluntarily leave it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think as long as the purpose of it is to support people in learning those skills and building their ability to manage their money, rather than it being something that is sort of embedded long-term and expected.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so how important is it for people to engage with this election and with the candidates and the policies? What do you think?
I think we are at a really crucial point, Mark. I think we've got all over the country we're seeing people are feeling more disillusioned than they have for a long time with the major parties. And so I think the only way that we're going to change that is if people engage and get involved one way or another. And think very carefully about their vote. And certainly in Curtin, this has been a safe seat forever. So it's not really been relevant how you voted in the past, but now I think there is there's a real opportunity. And I've seen so much enthusiasm from across the electorate with people saying, I'm so glad we've actually got a choice now, rather than just these two parties that are focused on photo opportunities and scoring points against each other.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Oh, it drives me mad.
Yeah, it drives me crazy as well.
So the only, you know, only 0.4% of the population is a member of a major political party.
Yeah.
So it's this tiny sort of talent pool and tiny group of people who are making the policies. So the only way we can change that is by actually feeling like it's our system and we've got to be responsible for changing it.
Love it.
And getting involved. So think very carefully about your vote. It's really important. And people fight wars over the ability to have a vote. So we've got to not take it for granted.
I'm so glad you said that. Okay. Was there anything that you wanted to say to the listeners about your candidacy and why people should vote for you?
Oh, look, I think just I've probably covered it, but it is a really important time, and there is an alternative, and I want to see us moving to more long-term thinking in government, and I think independents can do that by being the conscience of Parliament. People are scared of a hung Parliament, but really, we've got a minority government at the moment with Barnaby Joyce holding the balance of power, so I think we're in no more... It's certainly not going to be less stable if we've got a bunch of sensible centre independents holding the balance of power who are more interested in the future of the country than their political careers. So I think it's really not that scary. Mark, I also wanted to say, I heard you talking about preferential voting before.
Yes.
And it's really hard to get your head around. Another way of thinking about it is whichever of the last two candidates are left in the race, the one that you put higher on your ballot paper is the one that gets your vote.
Yeah.
So it means there's no such thing as a wasted vote, which is a good thing in our system.
Yeah, so it's kind of a myth about the wasted vote. The only time your vote is wasted is you actually don't put any numbers or ticks or anything on the card and you just write something, then it's a wasted vote.
That's right. If you number all the boxes, it's not wasted and your preference gets taken into account. So I think that's... It's a really important thing, and it's how we're different from some other countries too.
Yeah, it's really good, actually. I like the way it's set up. All right, Kate, I'll let you go. Thank you for being on Noongar Radio this morning, and I hope to have you in the studio next time.
I look forward to it, Mark. Thanks so much.
Thank you.